The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios of the Verona Palacio, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves those pre-roll thumbs, especially before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to rent to drive in some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do but all my friends that come around, fights and floods and party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake it up. What's kicking? I'm Pharrell Mafia running it. So I woke up in a good mood. I don't know what the hell happened. I bet your boy Harvey Wallbanger, Harvey Haddix, I bet. The Dark Knight, Harvey Knight, or whatever they call that, Happy Harvey Day. I bet on him he had gone 3 straight wins, 18 scoreless innings, and I went with him tonight, and the Orioles were up 3-0. I thought I had it in the bag. I don't know what the hell happened. My day reversed course instantaneously in the fourth. Rizzo homered, made it 3-1. Torres singled to right, Gallo scored. 3-2, LeMahieu in the fifth, single to center. Higgy scored 3-all. In the seventh, LeMahieu single to center. Davis scored 4-3, Yankees. And then in the seventh, Stan double to right. Gallo and Sanchez score. And LeMahieu, 7-3. In the later, Torres doubles to left. Stan scores 8-3. In the eighth, LeMahieu doubles to left. Sanchez and Davis scored 10-3. And that's the way it'll end. And the Yankees will obliterate the Orioles. 13 runs last night, and of course one run the night before when they lost 7-1, but you tag 10 more on tonight. 24 runs in the 3 games as the Yankees blow out the Orioles. So much for that Oriole ticket I had going tonight. Wah, 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 wah. Hey, at least I went for it, right? With your boy Harvey. He didn't pitch that bad. I mean, honestly, I just kind of want to look at his overall numbers. Obviously, he went 4 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. I mean, that's not that bad, right? It was really and Knight that gave up all the earned runs. Those 3 gave up 6 runs. Valdez and Sulcer gave up the other runs. I didn't think Harvey was that bad. Two earned runs. I can live with that, especially when his ERA is over six. Oh, well. There you go. Red Sox lead the Tigers in the eighth, 4-1. Astros, Dodgers, 1-1 at Chavez Ravine in Lipstick City. Bottom of the first, runners on first and second for the Dodgers, one out. The Phillies lead the Nationals 9-4 in D.C. in the ninth. Indians trail the Jays 8-4, bottom eight in Toronto. Mets up on the Marlins 5-3 in Miami, top eight. They got runners on first and second with two out. Braves have taken the lead on the Cardinals 4-3. They're in the top of the sixth. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. It's for all on a bench. On a Wednesday night, Angels lead the Rangers 2-1 in the seventh in Arlington. The Royals are up 6-1 on the White Sox in the sixth. Rockies 2-0 on the Cubs in the bottom of the fourth. Runner at first, two outs. Giants, D-backs, scoreless, top two in Zona. Today, Brewers doubled up the Bucks 4-2. Reds 6-5 over the Twins. Rays 4-3 over the Mariners. A's 5-4 over the Padres in 10. Believe it or not, I hit all four of those games, and the A's were my top play of the day at the Ashtray in Oakland, and they got it done in the extra innings with a walk-off, and that's the deal there. A's get it done and come back on the Padres, who were winning that game, and the A's stole it from them. I'm actually watching Summer League ball right now. I think that most people, I don't know, do they watch the Olympics? I think that's on as well, right? Don't people watch the Olympics at night? I've not watched really any of it. I don't really get into it. I just turned it on right now. It's very exciting. There's some kind of diving going on. And, oh, a chick almost hit her head on that diving plank. They come really close. Anyway, I'm not really into it. I don't know what it is. I think tonight they play basketball, Mafia. The U.S. plays the Aussies around 12:15 in the morning East Coast time. So we'll see if they can cover that number. I think it was 11, 11 and a half, whatever it was. I know people are excited about that. I've barely watched any of it. Does that make me a horrible human being? I don't know. We got a lot going on. Plus, later this hour, Andy Gresh from Boston.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell on Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 204.
Mafia, have you ever jumped off one of those top planks on the diving, you know, at the big, whatever, cement diving board, you know, with the three levels? Have you ever dove off the top one?
No, hell no. You know, I don't know if I got the second one, but definitely not the third one.
Have you ever jumped off of it?
Not that I can remember. I don't think I've ever really been to a pool that had those like really crazy high dives. I don't think I was ever, you know, like I know, you know, like in all the movies, like the, you know, Sandlot and stuff where they had those at all the public pools. I don't think I ever was at a public pool that had a super high dive like that.
Yeah, I've done it. And I've jumped off of one, and it was the worst. I remember doing it when I was a kid.
Did you try to dive, or was it just like a jump, like you tried to cannonball from there?
There's no way I would ever dive off of anything that high up. But I definitely jumped off of it, and like kind of the bet was, or the dare was to do it. You know, was to climb all the way up there and to jump off, and I did it. I've done it multiple times. Once I did it, I broke the ice and I was able to do it again. But I will say that the first time I ever went up there on the plank at the top, I was scared to death. I mean, I remember just quaking in my boots, and I was scared of heights to begin with. Like, I'm not a big fan of heights. And it's weird because I was a skier, right, for most of my life. And I skied my whole life. And, you know, I've been on very scary, you know, mountains. I've skied on the most dangerous mountains in this country. I mean, I've skied on all of them. Big Sky, Breckenridge, you know, you name it, every one of them. You know, Park City. I've skied on Alta. I've skied, you know, Taos, everywhere, the greatest ski mountains, and, you know, Mammoth, Big Bear. Big Bear's not that big. It's nice. It's awesome, but it's not the steepest thing I've ever been on. But I know that I've never been a fan of heights, right? Like, so I'll be honest with you. I don't like being on chairlifts. They creep me out. But, you know, I did it. You have to just do it. But I've never been one to feel comfortable on them. I never liked being on them. I just kind of try not to think about it when I'm riding them. But I don't like looking down when I'm on them. I'm not a big fan of, like, looking over, you know, looking down at people skiing underneath me when I'm on one of those chairlifts. A real high one. I'm not talking about some candy-ass East Coast chairlift. I'm talking about West Coast, you know, sky high. I mean, literally thousands of feet in the air chairlifts. I mean, scared to death on, you know, gondolas, whatever you want to call them. Chairlifts, tows, boxes, whatever you want to call them. I've been on all those things, and I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. It scares the crap out of me. I'm not even lying. I've never been a fan of it. I don't like looking down. I don't like looking over the edge of anything. I've been at Cape Solitude in the Grand Canyon at 14,000 feet and went to the edge. I used to literally cable off the edge of a mountain off of Cape Solitude in the Grand Canyon and literally had the setup for the bathroom on the edge of a cliff. And I mean to tell you, it's an eye opener, man. It's scary. It's no joke. I don't like being on the edge of anything. I don't like being like, hey, come on out here on this rock. Or I've been to Toronto. I've been in that, whatever they call it, that tower in Toronto, and with the glass floor and everything. I'm not a fan of that. But when I did the, I definitely went up on those diving boards when I was a kid. I, you know, got double dog dared to do it. And I, what do they call it, Mafia?
The CN Tower.
Yeah, whatever. The CN Tower. CN Barf. Like, I didn't like being up there looking down through that clear floor. I think they do that at the, I think they do it at the New World Trade Center, right? I think they have all that going on up there, too.
They do. Like, have you ever done the arch in St. Louis?
I have done the arch.
That one's freaky, especially if you go up on a day where it's actually windy and you're like up, you know, 200 plus feet, whatever it is, in that little tiny arch and that thing starts swaying with the wind. That scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm not into that either. But I don't like any of that. And I got to tell you, when I went up on that diving board, that plank, and I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. I think they had one in Mount Lebanon where I grew up in Pittsburgh and at the high school or whatever. And I mean, it was scary, dude. All I know is you get up there and look down at that water. And I think I even had one in Valpo, too. But in Valparaiso, Indiana, when I was a little kid, all I know is that I got up there and I mean, I literally almost cabled in my pants. It was so scary. I mean, you are sky high up, like I don't even know what that measures, but it's like three or four apartment stories. It's no joke. And honestly, you look at it on TV and it's like this giant monstrosity. It looks like something that you'd see on a Navy ship, right? But then you get up there, and I mean to tell you, it looks like a mile straight down. I mean, it is God-fearing. And if you, when you jump, you go down like a lead weight. And the other thing is that if you don't tilt, if you don't tip your toes forward and you smack that water with your feet flat, you'll literally get injured. I mean, you will implode on that water and you hit like a bag of cement. But you have to go in with your arms up and your feet pointed in. You know, these divers go in there and they have their hands pointed and they're in a perfect stick, right? And they have their hands pointed and they go in like a missile into the water. But you see their bodies jack when they go into the water, right? But when I did it, I just jumped off. I jumped off and went down and went straight into the water. And I mean to tell you, it scared the hell out of me. It is no joke. I mean, it is flat out scary, bro. It is not fun to go. First of all, climbing up there, you get up there and you are literally scared to death because it is. I mean, you get up there and everything changes. You know, people become very small and it's windy and you're standing up there at the edge of that. I mean, walking out to the edge of that plank is, I just thinking about it right now makes me sweat. I'm not even kidding you. I'm breaking out in a sweat just thinking about it. It's scary. It's no joke. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get up there all day long. And obviously they conquer their fears. And they, once they become divers, they conquer their fears and they're off and running and they're not afraid to do any of it. There's three levels on it. All three of them are scary. If you go off the first one, you could do like a, you could do like, if you were really composed, you could do like a can opener. You could do a can opener off the first one and maintain your swerve. But if you get up on that second and third plank and try that and you lean the wrong way, I mean, you will end up splattered all over Manhattan. I mean, to tell you, it is no joke. I was scared to death. I would no more do that today than fly a kite. It's for all in a bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, bro, on the bench, our boy Andy Gresh from EI in Boston joins us. There's a lot to talk about. I hope you're well, buddy.
All is good, brother. How are you?
I'm chilling. I just got back from Cali. I was surfing for 9 days, and I'm trying to get a hold of my shrink so I don't kill myself because I'm so miserable being back in New York after being in San Diego surfing. I go there every year and I surf, and every time I go, I don't want to come back ever, if you know what I mean. Can you dig it?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. We went to the McGregor fight. My oldest graduated high school this year, so the graduation present was we took a 19 and a 16-year-old, my wife and I, to go to Vegas to go to that McGregor fight. And I wanted to put them back on the plane and send them home so my wife and I could stay out there and drink and gamble for like 3 or 4 days. But such is life, brother. We're just working stiffs, bro.
Right. You know, they've actually put the masks back on in Vegas. And I'm supposed to go to that Pacquiao fight here in like 15 days. Mm. And I got to tell you, that just does not sound appealing to me at all. Like hanging out in Las Vegas for 4 days with a mask on. Like, I wore a mask like you did for a year and a half. And when I got it off, I felt like running naked through the fields, going to Vegas with a mask on for 4 days with a bunch of people coughing and sneezing on me. I don't know. I don't think I'm digging it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Pharrell. Like, once they took the masks away and you started to be able to experience sports the way it's supposed to be experienced, which is with other human beings and fans and being in that T-Mobile arena for that fight, as much as the main event was disappointing, the buzz and the stuff that you would hear, you know how it is. You know, I want to hear the guy who's devastated because his guy got knocked out in the first round. I want to hear the curse-laden tirades. I want to see people get into it. I want to feel the buzz. And, bro, I'm with you, man. It's real tough to go backwards. But, I mean, hell, look at what the NFL is doing, where they're basically trying to bully their players into the vaccine by turning the players on each other. It's still very real, but I'm with you, man. It sucks if we've got to go back to putting those on, especially when it comes to sporting events. I need to hoot and holler.
Right. Like, so my buddies were in Vegas the other day. And it was last, I think it was Saturday or something. I was in LA and whatever. I was in Orange County, San Clemente. And then my buddies were in Vegas and they were at 12:01. They were in the casino and literally they said that people started pouring out of the workers there, like the people that run the place were handing out masks to everybody. And it was, you know, at that point, at midnight, at 12:01, they forced everyone, every single person had to wear one. And it was like prison in Vegas again. It just sounds like it sucks. What's it like in Boston? What's it like up there where you live as opposed to like, so where I am in New York, obviously, you know, what they're doing is they're starting this key pass. You basically have to have a passport. You have to have your papers. This is like World War II. Show me your papers. You won't be able to go. Show me your papers. You won't be able to go anywhere. Gyms, restaurants, bars without proof of vaccination. And they're basically saying, if you're not vaccinated here in New York, you're not welcome.
So in Boston, Pharrell, right now, the mayor, who is an interim mayor because Marty Walsh for Boston decided to flee the state and get the hell out and go work in the Biden administration. So right. Kim Janney, who's the interim mayor, said she didn't want to start doing things like that vaccine passport for the reason that you just mentioned. It was labeling people, things like that. But the good news is she's not going to those lengths. In Massachusetts, we're okay. Believe it or not, in Rhode Island, because I live right near Providence, right. Rhode Island is okay as well for now. So, you know, none of the events have really got rolling back in Rhode Island. I've gone to some Bellator MMA down in Mohegan Sun. They still right. got everybody spaced out a little bit. So we're not slamming masks on right now, but there is a little bit of a fear that maybe once you start having more events inside TD Garden, that they might have to go to a mask mandate. But I hope we're not at that point in 2 months.
So do you, Andy Gresh with us, our longtime friend from EEI in Boston. He's a great friend of the show and great host on the radio. And he's a huge rock star up in Boston. So what is, do you drive? Because I used to go to Providence to have bad things happen to me. That is such a great place to do bad things. I mean, to tell you, I've been there before some Patriot games. The drive-through, they got it all going there at some of those places. Bob Kraft would be proud of me. But anyway, do you drive from Providence to Boston every day to do the show, or do you do it from home, or do you do it from another studio there?
No, I've been going in. It's about a 60-mile ride, and I know that sounds like a lot, but for anybody who's lived around the Boston area, you really don't live in the city unless you're truly working in the city or you like to just whiz away all your money paying in rent. Everybody drives in from somewhere, and Pharrell, see, here's the thing, and you'll appreciate this, right? So my wife, Betsy, who, by the way, I got her set up so that she could listen to you because she's listened to you forever. And right. when I met her, she had a house. And it was her second marriage and my second marriage. So I said, I can either buy a pickup truck and drive, or I could go through selling a house and buying another one. And I said, screw that. I'll drive because it's a house I can move into right away. So right. I made the practical decision. So driving is no big deal because I saved a ton of money over the 10 years that we've been married by not buying another house.
All right. So, and so you're 60 miles as in like 60, like an hour, like 60 minutes away.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Yeah. It's basically an hour, a little bit of traffic, maybe. It's okay because I'm on the phone and doing whatnot.
Right.
Again, it sounds like a lot, but it's pretty much all highway right. miles. And when you leave early enough in the morning, unless some jackleg, you know, slams a tractor right. trailer off the road and shuts the highway down, on the whole, you're pretty good. Plus, when I'm on my way home, I can, you know, have a cigar, maybe a right. gummy or two, and then right. have a nice ride home on a Friday.
Well, listen. I mean, Mafia, just tell them the truth. What is it like driving 60 miles with me anywhere if I don't have, like, at least two doobies? I mean, I'm not going anywhere. Mafia, tell them what I'm like in a car doing 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was probably, what, like 20 miles? It took 30, 35 minutes, and you'd lose your mind. And anytime we went out to, like, the island for an Islander game or somewhere, you know, like, somewhere in New York for a game, and still wouldn't even be 60 miles, and you would just lose your mind. The second there's any kind of red lights from in front of you, that's the end, and you just can't take this anymore. Why'd I ever come? This is the worst decision ever. It's your fault. Right. Why'd I do this?
I wouldn't drive. I wouldn't drive. Like, Long Island to me is Europe, and I'm like in New York City. I won't even drive to Long Island. I mean, I went to Carver High's daughter's christening. I wanted to. Like, it was like going to federal prison, driving to Long Island. Like, I'm like, I won't go anywhere. Drive it. You're like an hour. I'd have to have a 12-pack of beer, a hooker, two doobies. I'd have to have a deck of cards. I'd have to have some dice. I can't. An hour. I'm like, Jesus. So I drive sometimes to the Meadowlands, and it takes me – it's 20 minutes door to door.
Oh.
From like Manhattan, whatever, from where I live, you know, driving home takes an hour, and I'm ready to stick a gun in my mouth. Like, bumper to bumper, it for me is the worst. I'm in LA, and it was because I lived there for 10 years. I used to drive from Huntington Beach to Culver City, which is West LA, and I used to do the show at Westwood One there. And I would drive, it was 40 minutes door to door, but it took 3 hours every day. So, three hours every day, Monday through Friday, to go there. It took 40 minutes to go home at night. When I was done with a show at 10, there's no one on the highway at 10. Between 10 and 5 in the morning is the only time you can drive in Los Angeles with no traffic. And then going to work took 3 hours. I had a clutch. I had an RX-7 convertible, and I literally, for 10 years, I walked around with a limp because I sat in traffic so much. I wanted to, oh, my God, I needed to shrink from it. So I want to talk about a bunch of stuff with you about Boston. And Mafia, how much time do I got here? And then I know I got another segment with him. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to break, and we're going to come back. I want to start off by talking about the Celtics. A, what you think the Knicks are getting with Kemba Walker, because we saw what he gave you guys, which was nothing. And now the Knicks got him. I like the price. But I don't know what's left in the tank with his body all banged up. Also, what you think of Fournier for the time that he was there in Boston. He had some moments. He had some good games for the Celtics. And the inactivity of the Celtics. For me, frankly, I know they got Enes Kanter, but that's that equates to doing absolutely nothing in the free agency and offseason. They've done absolutely nothing. And I want to talk about the Red Sox. And I think they're going to win tonight. And then we'll talk about the Patriots, too, with Andy Gresh.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
All right, for On the Bench, we're talking to our boy, Andy Gresh from EEI in Boston. So talk to me about what is, you know, the goods that we're getting from the Celtics in the Knicks, in Walker and Fournier. You know, obviously, one guy is a three-ball shooter, and I'm a little surprised that I've seen him go off, Fournier, and have some good games for the Celtics and light it up. I've seen him also have nights where he doesn't appear at all. And then Kemba, for me, I know he's a New York City kid. I know he played at King and he played at UConn, played at the Garden a million times. He's legend here. But I thought he was just massively disappointing in Boston for my money. Like, I just thought he was always injured. He never played. He had nothing but body problems. And it's like, for me, it's like, I know he's a 20 a night knockdown guy and other things, dimes, he does it all. But that's when he's like healthy. I think he could have 20 drunk, but it's when he plays. Like, what are we getting?
You're getting a guy, Pharrell, who is going to play 50 games. You pick the 50 you want to play him. And good luck guessing which are the best 50 to play Kemba Walker. And here's the other thing, too, that came to light when he was traded to Oklahoma City. We kind of found out, Pharrell, that the sort of the issue in the Celtics locker room was kind of connected to Kemba Walker. Brad Stevens gets kicked upstairs, and the first thing he does is trade away a player with a first-round pick, which is something that Danny Ainge never, ever wanted to do. And then, of course, here come a little bit of the rumblings, and it became pretty easy to figure out that Kemba just didn't mix well with the young players. I don't think it was anywhere near as bad as Kyrie, but you're getting a 50-game guy. Pharrell, you got to explain this one to me, brother. Evan Fournier is a three-point shooter, but what is Tom Thibodeau like? Grinders and dudes who play defense. Guess what Evan Fournier doesn't do? Grind and play defense. So I wonder about that fit. Is he just going to be a cigar store Indian standing out there waiting for the ball, just looking to chuck threes? Or is the guy actually going to participate on the other end? I mean, really, he's a tough guy to figure out, because you're right. There are times where he can drop 30, and then there are times where he'll try to play some defense, get into foul trouble, and have 4 points at the half, and you're screaming at the TV. So I wonder about the Fournier fit. I would say keep an eye on Kemba kind of mixing in, but Kemba's a 50-game-a-year guy, Pharrell, and it's tough to figure out what 50 to play him in.
I don't think for Fournier's price tag, I think they got him at $78 million. I don't think it's that bad, considering some of these guys are getting 90, like Duncan Robinson, Lowry, and then some of these guys like Alexander got $174 million for five. Trey got $205 million for five. Steph got $215 million. Steph's worth the money. I don't care what anybody says. But $78 million for me is not that big of a deal if the guy can knock down threes, and that if that's his job, because they really don't have a guy that knocks down threes. They had Randall do everything for them, and then the only time they ever had anything else exciting come along was when Derrick Rose came back and started playing good ball. So I think they need a three-point shooter for sure, and that's the guy that they think can knock down shots, so it is what it is. I'm with you on Kemba. Look, the only upside of that deal for me is the price tag. If it's true he's only getting $8 million, yes, which I'll believe when I see it, if that's all they have to pay him for his 50 spot, which I agree with you, he's not playing any more than 50 games. The guy never plays. I don't know who's worse. Irving with his 1 week off a month vacations that he goes on because he's got saving the world personal issues or mental breaks he needs. And don't get me started on all these people that have mental breaks. You know, you and I need a mental break, Gresh. I mean, I need to go surfing more often than just once a year. I need to go once a month to California because I got mental problems. Everyone already knows I'm sick in the head. But let me ask you this question. When they move Stevens upstairs, listen, I am not a fan of his as far as this genius BS that they've been selling me for years, that he's this genius. When he left Butler and went to the Celtics, that he was a genius. Now, listen, I'm not going to argue with what they did in terms of getting the Eastern Conference Finals and playoffs and getting there. I'll give you that. Fair enough. I'll give you that. But he never got it done. And he had those two or three years where he was there, and then it got worse where he didn't get it done and didn't get there. And then I almost fell over when they moved him up to Ainge's job to run the whole kit and caboodle, because, frankly, I just don't get it. I mean, he didn't get it done as a coach, and now you're telling me he's going to run the whole organization? And I thought the first reaction I had was run it into the ground.
Yeah, I don't think he is going to come where anything close to doing that, Pharrell. And there's a couple of things. Number one, believe it or not, Brad Stevens studies at the feet of Bill Belichick. Very good friends, and they've talked a lot about running organizations, which I think is very underplayed up here right now, because we'll see what Stevens does. And I think ownership appreciates continuity. And you could have blown everybody out and then gone with who. And that's really what the discussion came down to, is Danny Ainge is leaving. There, I think it is legitimate with the health stuff, but I think he'll consult someone, because why not take a check if somebody's just going to call you on the telephone for a conversation once a month? That's not going to stress the guy's heart out. But I do think Brad Stevens has a vision. And Pharrell, here's the way it's setting up. They got Tatum. They got Brown. So we know what they did this year was really meant for the cap flexibility. So if you look at next season, a lot of those first-round picks that Danny Ainge has made, like Romeo Langford, Aaron Nesmith, guys like that, their club options are coming up. So basically the vibe up here is that Tatum and Bradley Beal have already talked. Beal opts out at the end of after this season. He has the ability to then come to Boston. They can make it, meaning the Celtics can make a decision or a sign and trade on Marcus Smart, get you that, you know, other maybe half or young superstar. You keep Robert Williams. You keep one or two of the young guys on the club option, and that becomes your new core seven. And it makes Jason Tatum want to stay here in Boston because he gets his boy Bradley Beal. Are they assuming risk? Bet your ass they are, because if they don't get Bradley Beal, it's down to Zach LaVine and people like that, and then I don't know what the plan would be. So I think Stevens is setting it up for flexibility to get Beal and maybe someone else who wouldn't be a top-flight star, and then keep some of that young core that they have. But if they don't get Beal, woo, boy, the city will turn on Stevens real quick.
I got to tell you, they had Kyrie Irving and they had Kemba Walker, ran into a traffic jam. I mean, it didn't work. Just like we were talking about traffic before, it didn't work. And now you're going to go get Beal, and I'm not sure by the time they get him that that'll work. And they went out and got old man Al Horford back, like they're going back in time. I'll tell you what, the last thing I'm going to say is I don't care. He's no Bill Belichick. Okay, now I respect Belichick like beyond words. So, but I do not buy that Cam Newton's going to be better than he was last year. It only gets worse as they get older. You know that. But I do believe in Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Not right now, but in short order. I do believe that he's the future. Are the Pats going to suck again?
No, they're not going to suck again, because Belichick is going back to the old school, Pharrell. If you remember what they were in 2003, they hadn't yet really turned Tom Brady loose and really built the offense around him. That was a year where Corey Dillon ran the ball a ton. And remember, by then, they had really loaded up on those tight ends and Watson and Graham. And I know the Watson and Graham didn't turn into stars, but they were, you know, they were first-round guys that Belichick could really believe in. That 2003-04 squad was really based on winning with defense, obviously special teams. Yes, you had Tom Brady, who was great when he needed to be, but they really ran the ball a ton. And that's what they're going to go back to. I think they're going small ball. They'll go play action. I'm with you. Cam Newton will at least, Pharrell, know the offense better than he did last year. and that'll keep him from whenever someone showed blitz. All he did was hold the count real long and go ready for about 10 seconds and hope the guy fell down or jumped offside.
You're right. Ready.
So now that's all he would do. Ready. That's the only, it was his only gimmick. Meanwhile, right. If that's Brady Farrell, he's like moving people from left to right. He's changing the protection. And he hits you for a touchdown. But so he'll at least have that. But I'm with you. He's not going to get better mechanically. He's not going to be great at throwing the ball. Ultimately, they are going to turn it over to the kid. And I think they're going to try to protect him as much as they can. Hope they can hit big plays on offense. And if Stephon Gilmore comes back, and there's a little uneasiness right now about that, if he's back, this team has a chance to be top five defensively with guys like Hightower and Van Noy coming back. And they're going to turn Matt Judon loose, Pharrell. If you have a, if you're in a bad fantasy league that has a defensive player, Matt Judon wouldn't be a bad guy to try to steal at some point. I think he's going to end up with 10 sacks.
Well, I got to tell you, that's my favorite cadence in the whole league. Every time I play Nerf football or play football on the beach, I always drop a ready. I think it's fantastic. Real quick. I do it all the time. Ready. Anyway, so real quick. Rodriguez looked good tonight. Barnes, thank God, no COVID. Red Sox snapped the five-game skid. Will they cause damage in the postseason? Because we all, like, believe that they're going to get there in some capacity or another. I got 1 minute.
They're going to get there. I don't think they're winning the World Series. I think the ceiling is the American League Championship Series, Pharrell. They just don't have enough depth in the lineup. They got three good guys. They need more depth. Pitching will be okay. Sale will get back. This year is really the precursor to what they hope next year will be. Go get themselves a real first baseman or call up Tristan Casas. But they'll be okay. I mean, it's a good year already, so I'm signed up for it.
I think Cora's, it's amazing what he's done. I mean, the guy was like in prison.
Great.
And what he's done is just, it's like a, they should make a Lifetime movie out of it. I got 30 seconds. What do you think of the job he's doing?
I think he's manager of the year material, Pharrell. He fits this team perfectly, for better or worse.
Well, listen, I always love talking to you, Andy. We'll get you on as often as possible throughout the football season and into the baseball playoffs. And next time they start playing hockey, we'll talk about that too. I always love hanging out with you, brother. All the best to you and the missus. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother. Be good.
Same to you guys. I appreciate you. Linus Allmark for life.
Listen to your boy, Andy Gresh from EEI in Boston, chilling the most on a bench on Sports Grid Radio and on Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map and Sports Byline. Mafia running it tonight. We'll give you a rundown of the latest updates from Chavez Ravine and around the league. Game still going on in the major. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. I'm pretty excited, Mafia, as you know, about my new bidet at the Pharrell Palatial. I got, like, just the most unbelievable bidet when I was in San Clemente. This chick had a $5,000 bidet. I mean, this thing had five speeds, heated water, blow dryer. It was the most amazing thing. It cleaned itself, self-cleaning. The toilet seat went up and down. It was unbelievable. It really was. Like, I looked it up, and it was $5,000. And I'm like, wow, you've spent five large on a toilet. But I got to tell you, it is the most magnificent thing ever, this toilet. I mean, it was erotica. I was just like, what is happening here? This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, physically speaking. And so I went home, and I told you, they gave it to me as a gift, like as a joke for my birthday. They gave me the clear rear portable one. And I had it installed from my boy. I got a plumber dude that I'm good friends with, and he installed it for me, and I got it all jimmied up in the bathroom. And I mean to tell you, man, it's different. It's not like the one I had in Cali, the heated one with the hot water. This one's cold water. It'll make a man out of you. I mean, when you have that freezing cold water hit your tuchus early in the morning, if you're yamming up, that'll wake you up. I mean, it is, you think jumping in a polar bear lake is bad. Try that to wake you up. That'll teach you a few things about Latin. So anyway, I have it going now, and I got it down to a science. I'm a master with this thing. I mean, it is the end of baby wipes and toilet paper as we know it. It's the best invention ever.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.